Please do have that Bible passage open in front of you again, page 980, Matthew 13. Let's just take a prayer and then we'll have a look at that together. Our Father, our hearts are longing for the day when Jesus returns. Our desire is to be with you, and living in this broken world is hard. And so we pray that you would give us food for our souls this evening. Encourage us that we might have the joy that belonged to the man who found the pearl of great price and the lost treasure. Amen. So the two parables are before us this evening, and they are simple and clear and yet at the same time quite hard to hear. Two parables with the same basic point. In the first parable, it is as if a man stumbled unexpectedly across a treasure in a field. In the second, the merchant is actively looking for precious pearls. In both cases, he finds something so rare and so precious that he goes home to sell everything he has in order to possess the one thing. In one sense, it is a transaction which is the easiest to understand, because each of us, in our own way, would be able to put a value on what everything he had means for us. For some of us, that would mean not a great deal. For others of us, it might mean a very great deal indeed. But whatever it means to us, we understand, at least conceptually, don't we, what it means for him to sell everything that he had. But this, I think, is where the parables become difficult. Would he really sell everything he had? What would that mean for us? All his other treasures, his lesser pearls, yes. His house, his donkey, his clothes, his furniture, everything. And of course, with that, perhaps his relationships, his business, his prospects, his ambition. Everything. The shock of this passage, I think, is there for each and every one of us. It would hit us each in different places, but all in uncomfortable places. It hits us in the very things that we might look to give us comfort and security and happiness in these very changeable times. Could such an exchange be worth it? And whether we are Christians here this evening or not, we might conceive of making this exchange, but surely one would only make such an exchange reluctantly, like a child taking a particularly foul-tasting medicine because their parents tell them it is good for them, but hardly willing. We may remain unconvinced. But here is the thing. The passage tells us twice, the kingdom of heaven is like this. Whether we like it or not, we come to God on his terms or not at all. But actually not whether we like it or not. We are supposed to like it. We're to love it. The man, we're told, in his joy went and sold everything he had to possess the treasure. Now, perhaps you can imagine that scenario if it were actual treasure. It would be easy to imagine, would it not, with real treasure, if you happened to find in a field a big box of treasure and you could do the maths. And you would think perhaps, clearly the box of treasure is worth more than whatever I've got, so of course I'm going to make that exchange. And you might do so joyfully. It is harder, I think, with the kingdom of heaven, because the exchange is not like for like, is it? And yet Jesus is very clear that it is a great treasure that ought to bring us great joy. Perhaps you're not a believer here this evening, and you should be thinking, I'm not really that keen to be a Christian, otherwise I'd be one. And you're telling me I should want to give up everything to follow Jesus. And yet similarly, for the many of us who are Christians in the room this evening, the question is slightly turned on its head, isn't it? It's slightly different. Because we've already made the trade, haven't we? But it is possible we look at it somewhat with regret, or with wanting to keep back for ourselves some of the things that we are to give up to follow Jesus. We're often not actually all that keen to give until it hurts, or to go to North Korea as a missionary, or to talk to our friends about Jesus, to give 3 out of thousands of examples of what it might look like for someone to give up everything to follow Jesus. And if, by the way, we think that going to North Korea, one of the hardest places to be a Christian in the world, would be very alien, do remember that we live in Yorkshire, one of the least reached people groups in the world. God has sent us here as missionaries, has he not? How can we reclaim the joy that should be ours so that we can be what this passage insists that we should? We need to think about why we should rejoice to follow Jesus. I want to just take a couple of minutes on this. We need to, first of all, wrestle with the problem of putting a value on things. I think the Bible would say over and over again, and this passage is symptomatic of that, that we are prone to putting altogether too high a value on things and too low a value on our souls. Too high a value on things, too low a value on our souls. Remember, the exchange that these men make is to give up things for this treasure. And here's the reason why I think we value stuff too highly. We're going to make that exchange at some point anyway. We're going to lose everything we have. That's what Jesus says, isn't it, Mark 8? You'd be a fool to gain the whole world but forfeit your soul. We put altogether too high a value on things and too low a value on our souls. On the day we die, everything we have will be left behind. It will have zero value for us anymore. The grave cares not whether you were a prince or a pauper. Stuff, at least in its ultimate sense, is worth nothing. We need to put the right value on the things that we own. They're just a temporary loan. At the same time, though, we will last forever. And so what happens to our soul, our resurrected and eternal bodies, that ought to matter to us far more than it often does. Verse 42, just outside our reading. They, the angels that is, will throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Or verse 50, the same words again. Our two parables sit between two other parables about final judgment. Seen from the perspective of eternity, to keep hold of our stuff and ignore the treasure is to put far too high a value on stuff and no value on ourselves, on our souls, and on the eternity that's offered to us through Jesus. That's to state negatively. What about positively? What is the treasure? Verse 43. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Those who belong to Jesus will get to be in the kingdom of Jesus forever. They get to call the Father, Jesus' Father, their own Father. They will shine like the sun. I don't know if you've ever contemplated that. You're not supposed to look at the sun because it's too shiny. It will damage your eyes. The righteous will shine like the sun. We'll be very shiny in our glory, in our righteousness. Utterly radiant, utterly morally pure, living a life of unending joy and pleasure that the very best life now cannot possibly compare with. How long, O Lord, how long? If we value our souls at all, then an infinite life and an infinitely good life should be of infinite value to us. And if you have a life of infinite value, then all of the things that this world offers so temporarily becomes as monopoly money, does it not? It's just a game. It's childish things. To be enjoyed, to be spent, to be given away. For the reality is so much greater than the toy. There is far more to be said, of course, and I'm not supposed to be going on this evening. We're supposed to be singing. But read the parables around this. Read chapter 13 of the promise of a fruitful life here and now, of the purpose that comes with being part of the Father's inexorable plan for the world. What is it that the man in our parables has discovered? What is it that is the pearl of great price? It is Jesus. And in Jesus he has found a purpose and a hope. He's learned to see himself as God sees him, to put a value on his soul which far exceeds all earthly pleasures and treasures. He's found his place in the world that God had prepared for him before the beginning of creation. The square peg has finally found the square hole to fit into. And so he delights. His joy is in Jesus and all that comes to God's people through Christ, through his death and resurrection, through his Spirit poured out on his people. And I understand. We're sometimes full of joy and sometimes we're not. This passage would encourage us to stop and reflect, reevaluate, and ask God to put his joy in our hearts if we are his people this evening. Let me pray for us. Oh, our Father, what a delight it is to be your children. And the prospect of being your children for all eternity is one that should stir in us a great joy and a great longing. Please would you help us to respond to your gospel as the men in these parables did. Please give us that joy. Please help us to value aright ourselves and the things you've given to us. And Father, would you give expression to that joy through our songs for Jesus' sake. Amen.